question. I have a doubt coming up in my mind after hearing the answer to the question which I would like to humbly ask here. You said in the answer that, paraphrase, we don't have to associate with devotees who are strongly critical about Mayavad. It's best to keep a distance from them, and there are so many other things to discuss in our devotional practice apart from refuting Mayavad. Could you please elaborate on that? Because what I heard so far, that all the Vaishnava Acharyas were strongly critical about Mayavad. So if some devotees want to follow on footsteps of such Acharyas, so will it not be offensive to isolate such devotees from our association? Is it safe to assume that such devotees are doing it always out of sense of ego and not out of devotion at all? Answer: yes, it's an important valid question. There are three different issues there. What the Acharyas did, what the devotees in our association who are criticizing Mayavadis are motivated by, and third is, what is the effect on us? So my answer right now is focused on what is the effect on us. So it's not a judgment about why certain devotees are doing these things. I said it's possible that we could be doing it because of ego. It could also be possible that some devotees may be so advanced that they very deeply feel pained when they hear Krishna's personality being relegated to the realm of illusion, and so therefore they speak out. Only Krishna can know their heart, we can't. So I'm certainly not talking about saying that all the devotees who criticize Mayavad are doing it just out of ego. All that I'm saying is that what is the effect on us? Ultimately, the guiding principle for our bhakti is anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Accept that which is favorable, reject that which is unfavorable. Now, is criticism of Mayavad favorable for our bhakti? From the long-term point of view, definitely it is favorable, in the sense that we don't want to entertain the notions that Krishna, there is something beyond the personality of Krishna, and especially that the beautiful form of Krishna is actually illusory. So in that sense, destroying that misconception is important. But at the same time, Krishna has given instructions at various levels in the Bhagavad Gita. So one of the instructions he gives is also na buddhi bhedam janayed ajnanam karma sangina. In 3.26 he says that don't disturb the minds of people. What this essentially means is that instruction has to be given in a way in which actually elevates people and not alienates people. So if we are finding ourselves agitated in our mind on hearing the criticism of Mayavadis, then that is fine. What do we do at that time? Do we just try to keep that agitated mind and still try to continue serving Krishna? With the agitated mind, it will make things much more difficult. There are so many other things in the world which agitate our mind, externally and internally. We come to the association of devotees to connect with Krishna. If our mind gets agitated constantly, that may not be the most nourishing for our devotional service. So, from that point of view, what I was emphasizing is, we have to see what is favorable for us. There may be so many statements in the scriptures that we may find difficult to deal with. For example, many people find the statement that women are less intelligent, which Srila Prabhupada uses based on the Manusamhita, quite difficult to digest. So, just because they find it difficult to digest the statement, does that mean that they should never read Prabhupada books? Or does that mean that every devotee in ISKCON has the authority to repeat that statement, and no matter what the effect on women and no matter what the ground reality is of all that? No, so if some devotees, male or female, who find this statement too disturbing, they can just avoid it and move forwards and not associate with those devotees who are talking about these things. So the two may not be exactly equivalent, the role of women and position of women is a part of the broader Varnashram system, which was accepted by both impersonalists and personalists. And that was a natural position within society, in terms of that women would be protected within Vedic culture, but they were also facilitated and to grow in their own way. So again, that's a whole different issue. But my main point over here is that there we may find many statements made by the acharyas which may be difficult to believe. Some people may find that when Srila Prabhupada said man did not go to the moon, of course Srila Prabhupada did not only say that. He said man may have gone to some other planet, or man may have gone, may have gone to the moon but not accessed the Chandraloka, whatever it is. So the point is that this statement of Srila Prabhupada may be found disturbing by some people. So if they find it disturbing, what should they do? Okay, just leave that statement and move on. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varchanam. So here I am simply talking it from the perspective of what is favorable for our spiritual advancement. So now, have all the acharyas criticized Mayavad? It varies. Certainly as far as the doctrine that is concerned, certainly all the acharyas have been strongly critical. Have been critical, but it's a matter of tone and it's a matter of focus. So as I mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was relatively milder. Baldev Vidyabhushan is strong, but he is more theologically strong. Srila Prabhupada would often offer value judgments, moral judgments in a very strong way. So different acharyas are different, they are different distinct individuals, all transcendental individuals, but they are different individuals and they may speak differently. So therefore, according to time, place, circumstance, things will change. So the emphasis is that surely we can't assume and shouldn't assume that all devotees who are criticizing Mayavad are doing it because of offense, because of ego. But we should be careful that we make our spiritual advancement by accepting what is favorable and putting aside what is unfavorable. So in general, we would normally apply this to say, we give up sense gratification in those activities and we accept those activities in devotional service which are favorable. But suppose there is Nirjala Ekadashi. Nirjala Ekadashi is a good devotional principle. But if that torments my body too much, although it is good, I put it aside for that particular time. So similarly, if I find criticism of Mayavad difficult to digest, that is fine. So that is the way I am. And I will go ahead in my devotional life without becoming inordinately agitated by hearing things which I know are going to be agitated. So if in its own way, while reading my work, reading the books, or while hearing the classes that I regularly hear, I find criticism of Mayavad, I will hear that. But I won't necessarily have to make it a duty to associate with those devotees who speak these things. Okay, to conclude with the last example over here, even if I assume that a particular devotee who is criticizing Mayavad is a pure devotee, let's assume theoretical assumption right now, and that devotee is motivated just by the desire to free people from the misconception of Mayavad and to enable people to come closer to Krishna. So that devotee is doing it entirely with a pure heart. And still my heart is so conditioned that when I hear your thing, I get disturbed. So then what do I do? So here it's just like, certainly if we are committed to a particular spiritual master, that means we take initiative from a particular spiritual master, then we have to take guidance from that spiritual master as much as possible, try to hear regularly from that spiritual master. But if we are not committed to a particular spiritual master right now, and we know that some devotee may be doing it with a pure heart, but we just can't, it just agitates our mind too much. So what do we do? It's like, I have a disease, I want to be cured, but I find that a particular doctor's treatment is very severe. So what do I do at that time? I accept the point that the doctor is well intentioned, the doctor is well trained, but still the way the doctor treats is too painful for me. Okay, then I find another doctor, if there is another doctor like that, who is also capable of curing me, but who does it in a gentler way. So then I go to that doctor. So is it that the second doctor is compromising or the first doctor is unnecessarily strict? Not necessarily. If at the end, through both the doctors, the patients are getting cured, then it's perfectly okay. So therefore, we need to associate with devotees whose association enables us to become inspired and committed in Krishna consciousness. And that is the essential principle over here. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. Thank you.